Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Louisiana may display 10 commandments in public school classrooms. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, this is a great recent ruling by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, 12-6, Matt, to allow Louisiana to display the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms across the state. You know, they've been working on this for a while. So finally, we've got a good ruling that they can display these Ten Commandments while the case proceeds.
Yeah, in the ruling, the court acknowledged the religious significance and historical relevance of the Ten Commandments in the U.S. legal tradition, stating this dual nature prevents an outright categorical ban on their display.
And the Ten Commandments is not only a religious, that's what our laws are based upon, but it's also very historical, and children need to learn this in the schools.
Yeah, and the dual nature here is obviously it is a religious document. It is the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses on
right.
Mount Sinai by God in Exodus.
And that has guided our laws ever since.
But that particular religious document has also a dual nature. It has not only influenced American law and government, it has influenced all of Western civilization, all of the Western legal tradition. In fact, if you go to, when I was dean of the law school and created and taught, wrote the class for incoming students, Foundations of Law, two-semester course on the foundations of law, we went through the history of law. And one of the things that I came across was what's called the Book of Dooms. It's like in the 1100 AD timeframe. The Book of Dooms was a compilation of what's called common law that kind of happened based upon different customs. King Alfred compiled this. It starts, however, with the Ten Commandments. Why does it do that? It starts with the Ten Commandments because the Ten Commandments is the foundation of all of our law and all of our legal system, our notions of right and wrong, moral compass. It all is connected to the Ten Commandments. That's the dual system that they're talking about. And so the court said this, quote, "There can be no doubt that the Ten Commandments bear immense religious significance, but they also have historical significance as one of the foundations of our legal system. That dual character forecloses any categorical rule against their display on public property," close quote. So they, in this case, 12-6, the majority stated that there's not enough facts to permit judicial judgment rather than speculation, since the matters of the Establishment Clause in the First Amendment need specific facts to judge rightly. Now, Circuit Judge James Ho,
yeah, he's made some great rulings in the past.
We've talked
about him before.
He has. He's always been very good.
Yes.
He authored a concurring opinion. He stated the idea of a passive Ten Commandments display is not coercive and therefore does not violate the Establishment Clause. He also reasoned that the nation's history overwhelmingly favors religious material in education. Mm-hmm. He says, quote, "Our nation's founders didn't just permit religion in education. They presumed that there would be religion in education. Indeed, our founders firmly believed that our Constitution wouldn't work without a religious people."
And he concluded that displaying the Ten Commandments is fully consistent with the Constitution.
And, you know, the first round at the Court of Appeals, they seem to still rely upon now the outdated, overruled case of Lemon versus Kurtzman. That 1971 case from the U.S. Supreme Court distorted the First Amendment, free speech, free exercise of religion, and establishment clauses. But that case was overturned in 2022 because of our case, Shurtleff versus City of Boston, and Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, rejecting and overruling Lemon.
Lemon's gone.
Lemon is gone. And the High Court replaced the Lemon test by returning to a traditional First Amendment standard where courts must interpret the Establishment Clause, quote, by reference to historical practices and understandings, close quote.
Imagine that.
By reference to historical practices and understandings.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what we've been arguing.
Yes.
It's common sense. So when you look at historical practices and understandings, let's go back to the First Amendment. Well, the Ten Commandments, like I said, it begins the Book of Dooms. That goes back to the 1100s. This is King Alfred. This was a very influential piece on the law, the current compilation of all the law. And the common law was transmitted down through the Europeans, also into the United States, and we inherited the common law. And the common law was something that goes way back into history. And what's the foundation of that? The Ten Commandments. So we had statutory laws. We had state constitutions. In fact, 12 of the 13 colonies, 12 of the 13 colonies adopted all 10, that's right, all 10 mm-hmm. of the Ten Commandments. 12 of the 13, all 10 of the Ten Commandments.
And you can find specific laws, you know, that they enacted at that time according to the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, we actually created a booklet, and it was because of our research that we were doing as we were litigating and defending the Ten Commandments displays in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. a case that I eventually argued before the United States Supreme Court in 2005. And so out of that, I was amazed at some of the research as well. And when you go to the United States Supreme Court, and, you know, there's a provision in a book that I typically talk about in Israel, and the author says to see, learn more and see more. And he's talking about, he gives an example of a horticulturist, somebody who is involved in agriculture. And for example, somebody who is versed in the kinds of grass or leaves or trees, when they look out into a field, they don't just see green things. They see all kinds of unique characteristics because they no more, they see more. You look out there and you just see the green waving grass and you may not know the distinction. Somebody who knows more sees more. So when you know more, you're going to see more. And when you know the fact, if you go into the United States Supreme Court again, look for all the Ten Commandments displays. And they're everywhere. And once you start to look for it, you're going to see more.
There's
in
like
fact,
50,
there's 50.
50 of them, yeah.
Or so, inside and outside. And in fact, on the backside of the court, there's Moses with the Ten Commandments, the two tablets of stone, mm-hmm. with the Roman numerals right there. And he's right in the very centerpiece, etched in stone. He's also inside the Supreme Court. He's inside the Great Room. The profile of Moses with the Ten Commandments is like one every five images
so
in the Great Room.
So why wouldn't they have them in the public schools? I think all the public schools should have these in there.
It goes back to a case in 1980, Supreme Court activists. You know, you had activists in the 70s, that's 71, then 80, right as the decade ended and a new one began. They had a case out of Kentucky, Ten Commandments displays in the classroom. No brief on the merits, no oral argument. They just said, oh, they're unconstitutional. Why? Because if the children really looked at the Ten Commandments and they obeyed them, God forbid, they would be an establishment of religion.
They may not murder. They may honor their parents.
They
may
honor their parents.
Honor God.
They might not lie, you
yeah.
know? They might treat people very well.
Yeah.
And so they said that was unconstitutional. That really is not good law today because it wasn't even briefed. It wasn't even, it was out of the petition for cert stage.
Well, this judge in the Fifth Circuit said it is fully consistent with the Constitution.
And indeed it is. You know, we have filed briefs in these kinds of cases because we have done a lot of work in defending the Ten Commandments. I argued the case in 2005. The Supreme Court at that time used the Lemon Test in our case, but not in the same kind of a case involving a monument from Texas. And that was the last time they ever used Lemon. And then our case in 2022 and Kennedy overturned Lemon.
Well, Well, like Justice Scalia would say, they'd pull it out of the closet when they want
to scare you. Like
scare
a,
you, a
like
skeleton.
A ghoul in a late Halloween horror movie, yeah. And that's what they did. They would use it when they want to, and they would put it back in the closet when they didn't want
it. Well,
and
it's back in the closet now,
it's
for good.
And it's actually buried. It's not just in the closet. It's buried.
It's in the box.
It's in a box. It's not coming back. We're in a new day. So this is a great decision. Continue. This litigation on this issue, however, is going to continue, not only in this case, but in others as well. We're going to be right there as well to defending the Constitution of the United States of America. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. LC.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.